He's the master of the storm, but He allows the storms to come our way so that we can be taught wonderful lessons. There are directing storms. There are storms that give us direction in our life, and then there are detecting storms. Sometimes storms come to reveal in us something that ought not to be there, and I'm thankful. But you know what? Those wonderful storms that God gives, He's the master of the sea. Turn to Luke chapter 24. Again, we're glad you're here. Thank you for remembering us in prayer during the week. And if you're not here Wednesday night, we had a good time on Wednesday night. God met with us. And what an awesome service we had last Sunday. Our sunrise service, I was blessed in the sunrise service. And the singing was just, I mean, just unreal. I don't see how these folk can sing like that early in the morning. But I tell you, it was a blessing. And then the morning service, the Holy Ghost of God moved in. Had a lot of comments through the week, and people who were here were blessed, and folk on the internet and the radio were blessed, and got comments from folk out in Wyoming who watched a portion of the service on the internet, and they were blessed, and God helped them. And I'm thankful, appreciate again our E-team for making our service available around the world on the internet, and then for the archiving of all the sermons. And by the way, if you didn't get to see the drama, it's on there as well under videos. You go to our website and you see the whole Easter drama. And we just thank the Lord for that. In Luke chapter number 24, after the resurrection of our Lord, the Bible says in one passage of Scripture that He showed Himself alive by many infallible proofs. It's not just one testimony, not just two testimonies, but hundreds of people saw the Lord after He was resurrected, above 500 even at one time. And so it wasn't just one person or two or even just the disciples, but many people saw the Lord after His resurrection. And He had His resurrection body, like our body. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians, we'll have a body like in His glorious body. We'll have a wonderful body. I always, whenever I say that, I think about Brother Don Harrell. I remember Brother Don, you keep him in your prayers. Of course, he is in the nursing home there in Reidsville. And we just, the Lord's just letting him stay a little while longer. We don't understand what's going on, but you just keep him in your prayers. But I remember Brother Don, if you never didn't know Brother Don. Brother Don's about my height and quite a bit larger than me, and I'm large enough. But anyway, I remember him preaching one Sunday, and he walked out in one service, and he pulled his coat back. He said, "I don't know how many of you don't even know, this might be our perfect glorified body. It looked like this." And I thought, it could be, but I really hope not. You know, I really hope not. God will give us a different heart, a different spirit maybe in heaven, but I'd hate to think we'd all look like that for the rest of eternity. But the Lord had a glory. We do, we have a body like His. And we'll know one another. I love the statement years ago that I lost his name now. But one of the great preachers yesterday, somebody asked him one time, did he think that we'd know one another in heaven? He said, "Why, sure. I hate to think we had less sense then we've got now. We know one another now. We'll know one another. But we'll have a body like in His glorious body." When you read the account of His resurrected body, it was amazing. He was not limited by space or time. We'll see here this morning that he appears to some men on the road to Emmaus, sits down to eat with them, and they begin the journey back, and then he's back there. And in the meantime, he'd had a chance to go see Peter and everything else. So he just kind of, he's here and then he's there, and he's here and he's there, you know. And doesn't have to just take steps to get there. And the room's closed, the door's closed, and he comes right into the room, comes through the wall. And then he can appear and disappear. And so we'll have a body like in His glorious body. I don't know if you've ever thought about what it would be like to have that glorious body, that distance won't be any problem. If you want to be somewhere, you'll just be there, you know. And we'll live for all eternity. There'll be a new heaven and a new earth. I don't know what the heavens will hold. I don't know what the earth's going to look like exactly. I don't know what the New Jerusalem, we have some description of it, but it's hard for me to fathom what it's going to look like. But we'll be able to go from planet to planet, space to space, and it's going to be an amazing thing. And it's all because of what Christ did for us on the cross. He died for us. And He prayed in John 17, "Father, I pray they might be where I am, that they might behold my glory." And one of these days we'll get there. Bottom line is this, He wants you saved. Bottom line is, He doesn't want anybody in this building or in the radio or just to die and go to hell. He has no pleasure in the death of the ungodly. He said, "I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." He didn't come so you'd be a Baptist. He didn't come so you'd be an assembly of God, a church of God. He came so you'd be saved and be born again by the grace of God. Amen. Have a relationship with Him and go to heaven. Now, in the appearances after the resurrection, there are so many wonderful lessons. And I want to read about one of those this morning, if you will. Luke chapter 24, look at verse 13. He said this, "And behold, two of them went that same day," that is the same day that He was resurrected, and there were reports from the tomb that He was not there. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus. Now, Emmaus, you can't find on a map, but Emmaus, and most of Bible historians say, of course, the Bible tells us here it's six score furlong, which is somewhere between 7 and 8 miles. And so most people think it's kind of maybe northwest of Jerusalem a little ways, but we know it's a little ways away. It's about eight miles to that city, and so to that little village. And so they walk into that village, which is from Jerusalem 60 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus Himself drew near and went with them. And their eyes were holden that they should not know Him. Somehow or another, God miraculously, they had seen the Lord visibly with their eyes. And when He was resurrected, He still had the same features. He even bore the same scars in His hand. Those who had seen Him physically could look at that resurrected body and know Him, but God somehow supernaturally fixed it to where they didn't recognize Him immediately. And He said unto them, "What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad?" And one of them, whose name was Cleophas, answered and said unto Him, "Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days?" And He said unto them, "What things?" And they said unto Him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered Him to be condemned to death and have crucified Him. But we trusted that He had been He which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not His body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said He was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said. But Him they saw not. Then He said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and entered into His glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning Himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and He made as though He would go further. And they constrained Him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And He went in and tarried with them. And it came to pass that as He sat with meat with them, He took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew Him, and He vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our hearts burn within us while He talked with us by the way, and while He opened unto us the scriptures? And there rose the same hour, returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told the things which were done in the way and how He was known of them in breaking of bread. And as they were thus, and as they thus spake, Jesus Himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And He said unto them, Why are ye troubled? And why do these thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bone as ye see. I'm going to leave off the reading there. The rest of the story goes to the end of the chapter, and I'll make reference to that in a moment. But will you bow with me for prayer? Father, I want to thank You now for this wonderful day. Thank You again for Chasen and Taylin, for the family. We, God, do ask Your blessing on them and the children. We thank you for the family and, Lord, for their godly example and the great heritage, our Father, Lord, of Brother Barry and Miss Frances and others, Lord, in that family. And, Lord, on Brother Chasten's side, his mom and dad and all the godly blessings on them. We pray now, God, that you'd speak to our hearts. We pray, Father, for all of our friends here gathered. And, Lord, I am thankful that our Father, our Savior, not only loved us and died for us, but he's alive. He's real. Our Father, this is real. God, I'm glad the Holy Ghost is here. And I'm glad, God, that you're able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we're able to ask or think. And God, I pray that not one man, a woman, boy, or girl in the building or in the internet audience would die and go to hell. I pray, God, the Holy Ghost of God would convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment, and draw them by your grace and save them for Jesus' sake. And then, Father, I pray you'd encourage the heart of every believer. And God, I pray that you do in my heart what needs to be done today. Lord, please don't let anything in me hinder the flow of the Spirit. I confess before you, Lord, there's no good thing in me. And apart from the work of the Holy Ghost, nothing of eternal consequence will take place. And I pray now the Spirit of the living God would breathe. God, speak. Oh, wind, blow in this place. Get glory as we celebrate our risen Lord. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever tried to put yourself in this situation of what it must have been like? I think of how many, many times I've stood with families, some in the hospital when a child would die, some in the hospital when a husband, a wife, or mom or dad would leave this world. I've tried to share the Word of God with them and pray for them in the comfort of that hour. I've worked with them through the few days of preparation and then through the services and the burial, and then in days later to pray for them and encourage them. And when I'd have occasion to see them, and I know that after the crowds are gone, it's different. But I've never had this situation. I've never had this situation where a loved one has died and it came back to life. And can you imagine? It's easy for us to look at these people when the Lord said to them, "Oh, foolish and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets said." It's kind of easy for us to say, "I wonder why they didn't believe it. There he was right in front of them." Well, they hadn't experienced that. They saw Lazarus resurrected, but they saw Jesus brutalized. They saw him beat, this beard pulled from his face. They saw him scourged. They saw him with the crown of thorns. They heard the ringing of the hammer as the nails were driven in his hands. They saw his body, as the Word of God says, that it beyond recognition didn't even look like a human being. His face had swollen and distorted so, not even recognizable. They saw him as he cried out, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." They saw him as he dismissed his spirit and said, "Father, in thy hands I commend my spirit." They saw him die. Many of them saw the soldier as they pierced his side and the water and the blood gushed out. Some of them perhaps were close by when they came and took the lifeless body of our Lord down, wrapped it in a white linen, and placed it in a tomb, rolled the stone over. 3 days later, he's alive. He's walking and talking and eating. Well, it's hard to believe. But they were in a situation that we've never encountered before. I know he's alive. I never saw him before the crucifixion. I didn't see him on the cross. I haven't seen him physically with my eyes. But every time I read this book, the Holy Ghost of God makes it real to me. I know he's alive. I have experienced his touch. I felt his convicting power. When the Holy Ghost of God convicted me of sin, I knew he was there. Just as surely as I remember the look of my mom or my dad when I disobeyed them and the chastening of them and how I felt so that I had disappointed them and sinned against them, I felt that same sense when the Holy Ghost of God convicts me of my sin and disobedience. And then the comfort of our loved ones. I've had him to speak to me, a word of peace. So many times in our life, when our little girl Christy died, he spoke to me. But I want to show you something. Our emphasis all this year is on closer to him, more like him. I want to show you some things here that just blessed me as I read over this story once again about our Lord. Number one, I want you to notice, if you will, please, if you want to make these little notes in your Bible or by the passage of Scripture, look at verse number 15. "And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew nigh unto them and their eyes were whole, and they should not have it. And he said, what manner is this communication that these are, you have one with another as you walk and are sad? I like that little phrase in verse number 14, Jesus himself drew near. Number one, let me say something to you. The resurrected Christ will draw near to you. In your time of sadness, he'll come near. In your time of sorrow, he'll come near. The Bible said that he is nigh unto them that have a broken and a contrite heart. That's two different conditions, not the same condition. Those, it says, number one, those who have a contrite or broken heart, those who are in not only sadness but sorrow, he'll come near. He is the great comforter through the person of the Holy Spirit of God. He'll come near to you. I understand that when we get saved, the Holy Ghost of God's inside of us and he lives there all the time. But if you're saved and I'm saved, and we know that there are times that we sense his presence more. And I promise you that in your time of sadness and in your time of sorrow, he'll come near. You may not be able to see his face. You may not be able to feel his touch all the time, but I promise you he's there. He's near. He comes near. The Bible said that he's nigh. He's near to those who have a broken heart. He's near to those who have a contrite heart. That is those who have a heart that has been saddened or broken because of sin, and they are repentant in their heart. They have contrition. They have repentance. And my dear friend, I want to say something. As I've disobeyed the Lord and feel so alienated from him and so cold and distant, and whenever the Holy Ghost of God has dealt with me and I finally, like the prodigal, come to myself and I said, God, I'm sorry. I repent of my sin and I turn to you. God, please forgive me. He said, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us. I want to tell you, I felt him near in that time. He wasn't far off. He was right there with me. And whenever I got honest with God and had a contrite heart, a repentant heart, he expressed his love for me and I felt his presence. He was near. Thank God he comes near in sadness. Thank God he comes near in sorrow. And thank God he comes near in your time of sickness. He'll be close to you. You can feel his presence. You can feel his touch. You'll know he's there. Sometimes you'll go through those hours when you walk by faith and not by sight, but I want you to know he's there. He's close to you. When Peter was walking on that water in that great storm, and he said, Master, if you call me, I can come. And he said, come. And he stepped out and went to walk. And the Bible said that Peter began to sink. And he cried out and said, Lord, save me. And the Bible said, the Lord reached out his hand and took him. I don't know how far Peter had walked, but I know one thing, that when he went to sinking, the Lord was close enough to reach him. He was just a prayer away. My dear friend, I don't know how far he had walked, but I know how far Jesus had walked. He'd walked close to him. He got to where he was at. My dear friend, when it comes to that point in your life, my dear friend, when you're going through a dark hour, he'll be near to you. In those sinking times when it seems like everything's gone wrong, I promise you he's close by. Jesus came near. And that's why he came. The Bible said he came, Emmanuel, God with us. The Lord Jesus Christ died and was buried. He was separated from his disciples, but he was separated from God. My God, my God, why art thou so far from me? Why hast thou forsaken me? He was alienated from his father and alienated from his family and alienated from his disciples to suffer death and hell for us. But now that he's resurrected, he's near. Thank God he's near. Call on him while he's near, the Bible said. And I promise you today, he's near. He'll do something for you today. He's near in this place to you. If you have a heartache, if you have a sorrow, whatever it is, he's near. He's near to us in our need of a sacrifice. The Bible talks about when Cain and Abel lived and they offered the sacrifice. Cain killed his brother Abel. Abel offered a blood sacrifice and Cain gave them what he had. And then he killed his own brother. And when the Lord came and spoke to him, he said, why are you so distraught? Why are you so upset? And he makes this statement. He said, sin lieth at the door. You ever wonder what that meant? What did that mean? Well, he wasn't saying that evil's at the door. He's talking about the sacrifice for sin, the substitute for sin. You see, the Bible said Christ was made sin for us. And he said, it's right there at the door. The substitute for your sin, the sacrifice for your sin, the payment for your sin is right there at the door. Jesus, behold, I set the door. Knock, the sacrifice is at the door. It's that close to you. And my dear friend, he's near. The Bible said, but what saith that the word is nigh thee, even thy heart and thy mouth. The word is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's near. He's near in the time that you need to have your sins forgiven. For the believer, and also for those who don't ever know Christ and never known Christ, he's right near. He's not way off at you somewhere. You don't have to somehow or another get him to come down out of glory to come to where you are. He's near. He's right there where you are right now, at home, in this building. He's near. He's just a prayer away, just a step of faith away. He's near. Thank God he's near. He came near to them. He came near to them. And my dear friend, he comes near to us. He's near to those who have a sad heart. He's near to those who have questions. He said, come now, let us reason together. He's not worried about your questions. He's near. He'll answer your questions. Some things I do understand that you won't ever know the answer till you get to heaven. And like somebody said, when you get to heaven, it won't make any difference anyway. But he's there for your direction. He's near to give you direction. He's near to answer the questions that you have. He's near for those who fear the future. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I do know who holds tomorrow. My dear friend, you can go anywhere. You can experience anything as long as he's with you. And he'll be near 2018, the rest of this year, 2019, till Jesus comes. He'll be near. Some of you getting, Regina and I were talking about the other day, we got a lot of friends in here who are older than us, but we got a lot of friends in here who were little bitty babies when we came here. Now I'm dedicating their babies. And Regina, the other day, we was talking about getting some age on us, and then she heard a report about somebody that's our age, and they reported them as being elderly people. You know, something like, you know, something about that word didn't sit just right with her. I don't mind being old, but I don't want to be elderly. Some people fear old age. Some people are afraid of losing their vitality and losing their ability to go and do and all those things. Not sure what the future will hold. You imagine what it would be like to be in a situation where you were experiencing dementia, where your physical body was shutting down. But you know, he said this, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. He's near. He's near in the future. Whatever you have to face, he'll be with you. Whatever you go through, he'll be with you. I was talking to Jeff Barber the other night, and Roger and Jeff are brothers. Of course, some of you know, you all know Roger, but Jeff's his brother. And he's talking about Ms. Grace Barber, my neighbor. And I used to go by and speak to her on the porch. I hadn't seen her in a long time. And Jeff told me that she's pretty much bedridden in the house, and he stays with her at night. They swap around, the family stays with her. And I said, would she know me? And he said, I don't think so. She might. And I said, does she know you? And tears came in his eyes. He said, sometime. Just sometimes she knows me, sometimes she doesn't. But he said, you know what? She knows how to pray. He said, on Easter Sunday, when they got together, Miss Grace Barber, who don't know she's in the world half the time, and she don't know her own boys, said the blessing. Said they were all getting everything together, and all of a sudden, she just broke out, went to praying, and asked God's blessing on the food. I remember talking to Brother Farrell Osmond. His mama got like that, and he'd go in to see her and said, Mama, do you know who I am? She said, no. And you know, Farrell just saying he'd have his brother with him. And he said, Mom, you know who this is? And he said, no. But she'd look at Pharaoh said she'd look at me and said, but you sure are good looking, you know, not saying anything about the other fellow, my other brother. That's Pharaoh. He made that up. I think that's a lie. But he'd say to her, Mama, do you know who Jesus is? And she said, oh, Jesus is my Savior. He forgave all of my sin and He gave me a home in heaven. I'm going to go see Him for long. Oh, Jesus is my Lord. He said, to the day she died, she got where she didn't know nobody in the world but Him. Still Jesus. He'll be with us. When I was pastoring up in Reidsville, I had a family up there. They were straighters. And they had an old Methodist preacher in their family. I can't remember his first name, because last name was Strader, but they talked about how he was a great preacher and his body wore out. But one of the Strader boys used to say, but if you prop him up, he can out-preach a bishop if you just prop him up. Anyhow, one of those boys did start doing it, and Erskine's done some of this, going back in the family and helping restore some of the cemeteries. And they were going back. He kind of started going back through the family, and they found an old cemetery where one of the great-great-granddaddies was a preacher. And they found it, and it didn't have like a normal tombstone. It had a sandstone, big old piece of sandstone, where they had etched in there this old preacher's name, the date of his birth and death. And his first name was Christian Strader, and he was a preacher. And he brought me a picture of it and showed it to me. And it was way back, like in the early 1800s. And that big old piece of sandstone was there, and you could barely see some indentions where the birth and death were supposed to be. You couldn't read hardly anything of the last part of the name, but you could see the S there. And the word Christian that was there, the last four letters were completely gone. But the first letters of the word Christian were legible, and I could read it clearly in the photograph, and it just said, Christ. When everything else is gone, He'll still be near. Christ. I'm thankful for His nearness this morning. I'm thankful. I'll finish these thoughts later. But you know what? The Bible said that when He asked them while they were about what was going on, while they were so sad, they told Him. He was a great teacher. We thought He would have been. In other words, they were living in the past in a sense of disappointment, but the resurrected Christ was standing right there with them. It wasn't what He did 3 days ago. That was so important. It was important in His death and burial and resurrection. But they missed the reality of the fact that He was there right then. And He's here right now. And it's one thing to believe in a historical Christ, but it's another thing to accept the Christ of right now as your Savior and Lord, and as your comforter, and as your supplier, and as the Lord of your life. That's what you need now. But I want to show you something, and I was going to deal with this, and I'll come back to it later. But here is the resurrected Christ in a resurrected body that's not limited by time or space. He could walk through that wall if He wanted to, and He demonstrates that later. He could go instantly wherever He wanted to be. He didn't have to walk. But when there's a people in front of Him that have a need, He is omniscient. He is omniscient God. He knows everything. If it was a matter of psychology, or just helping them to rationalize and understand he had all that ability. But if you notice what He did to give them what they needed in the hour they were living, it said He expounded to them the Scriptures. He says to them, what you'll need now is the presence of the Holy Ghost in your life and the truth that's in this book. That's what He gave them. And what you'll need is the reality of a risen Christ, the presence of the Holy Spirit of God, but this book, for the rest of your life. Saturate your soul with it. Understand the truth of it. And he said that he began at Moses and all the prophets, the Bible said, and he expounded unto them all the scriptures concerning himself. I don't know all that he said to them about the Old Testament, but I do know that when he was talking to Nicodemus, he said, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. I'm pretty sure he dealt with that passage of scripture to explain to them, just like that serpent was biting those people and killing them, and they wanted to get rid of the snakes. They didn't get rid of the snakes. They gave a remedy. God gave a remedy. And the remedy, he said, you take and make something that looks just like that snake, make it out of brass, put it on a pole while all of Israel can see it, make it out of shiny brass, so in the dark night, when the pillar of fire is above it, it'll be glowing, they'll be able to see it in the dark night. Make it brass so in the daytime when the sun shines on it, they can see it brilliance. Put it high enough to where everybody can see it. They don't have to get to it. All they have to do is look and live. And he said, you make it look like that serpent. And what that serpent was like sin. And the Bible said, and Christ was made sin for us. And he said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. The Lord Jesus Christ explained to them. That's what happened a few days ago. I was made sin. And if Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. I did that. I fulfilled that scripture. And now all people have to do is look and live. And if you look in faith this morning to the Lord Jesus Christ, you can live. Will you bow your heads in prayer with every head bowed, every eye closed this morning? Look and live. Will you look and live this morning? I'm glad he's near. Your heart's breaking this morning. He's near. You have sadness. He's near. You have sin. He's near. He's near to forgive. He said, if you confess your sin, he's faithful just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That's every believer in here. If you're in a place where you've disobeyed the Lord, you've gotten cold, you've got away from him, he said, if you'll just come to me and confess, I'm near, and I will forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. For those who are lost, he's near for salvation. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you believe in your heart, confess with the mouth of the Lord Jesus that God raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. If you'll confess, believe this morning that Jesus died for you, he was buried and rose again, if you'll turn from your sin and turn to him, you can be saved. Just look and live. You don't have to do good deeds. None of that will do you any good. It's a simple act of faith, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Right now, while we have our heads bowed and eyes are closed, for our friends in the building and in the media audience, I'm thankful for this medium of reaching out across the world through internet. But I'm not physically there. I'm many hundreds of miles away from some of you. In this building, I'm several feet away from most of you. But the Lord Jesus Christ is right there, right by your side right now. Just like when Peter was sinking and he cried out, the Lord reached out his hand. He was close enough to just touch him. And he was just a prayer away. And right now, he's just a prayer away from you from being saved. Your eternal destiny could change in just one moment right now if you'll, by faith, believe on the resurrected Christ, the living Lord, who's right there, right now, right by you. And if you'll look to him, you can be saved. If you'll return from your sin and turn to him right now, acknowledge the fact you're a sinner, acknowledge the fact you need to be saved, and receive him right now. He'll save you right now. Right now. If you're a Christian, you're out of fellowship with him, you feel so far away from him, you're not so far away from him. He's right there, right now. And he wants to hold you. He wants to, just like that prodigal who came home, he'll run to you, he'll fall on your neck and give you the kiss of pardon. He's just waiting for you to turn, waiting for you to come. He's right there with you. Will you do that this morning? Maybe there are Christians who need to slip out and get around this altar and say, Lord, I've been so cold. I've been so distant from you. I know you're with me, but I have been alienated myself from you. But God, I want to get close to you. If you're here this morning, you never trusted Christ, I want to encourage you right there by faith, believe on Him, turn from your sin, turn to the Savior. You need somebody to pray with you around this altar, we'll pray. Brad's here at the front. Our deacons are here. We have ladies who'll pray with the ladies. Let's stand together with our heads bowed this morning. Our Heavenly Father, I want to thank You for Your divine presence. Thank You for the wonderful singing of the congregation, the choir this morning. Thank You, our Father, Lord, for touching Miss Kay as she sang. And Lord, I am sure glad, Lord Jesus, that You are our Redeemer. And Lord, that even in the storms that You're with us, You're near. And God, I pray the Holy Ghost of God right now would deal with hearts. Draw men by Your grace. I pray men and women, boys and girls would do now what they'll be glad for all eternity they've done. Lord, I pray they'd turn to the Savior. Now, Father, I plead, oh God, deal with them, draw them. And I ask, Lord, that You'd deal with them. Lord, please don't let anybody leave here lost. I pray they'll trust You, and we'll thank You. While we have our heads bowed and our eyes are closed, Brother Joe Barry's going to sing for us this morning. I want to invite you to come. Christians ought to always lead the way. If nothing else, you ought to come just bow before Him and thank Him He's alive this morning. Amen. And if you're not close to Him, I pray you'd get close to Him. He's near to you. And my dear friend, if you're lost, come trust Christ this morning. God bless you as you respond. Come right now. You'll not be the first many on the way. Right now, come on. Move right now. Take that step of faith. Come on right now.
Their steps were slow as they walked along that long Emmaus road.
Oh, yeah.
Then a man drew near.
Thank you.
And as he appeared, he said, "Why are you so sad? Are things really that bad?" And they said, "Sir, have you not heard?"
Amen.
"You must be a stranger in this town, for the one who came in the Father's name, he has been cut down. They laid his body in the ground." As they walked and talked, he began to explain about this Jesus, just why He came. He opened the Scriptures, He began to teach. The preacher of preachers, He began to preach. In the wilderness, the children had nothing there to eat. Manna from heaven fell down at their feet. When they were dry and thirsty in a foreign land, living water came forth out of the rock in the sand. When the three were children, they were thrown in flames. Fourth man appeared, even called Him by name. The manna, the water, the man, they're all the same. If you're still confused, let me say this real plain. It was Me.
It was Me.
It was Me.
It was Me.
I'm the one you left back there at Calvary. It was Me.
And who do you think hung the stars in the skies? Who do you think made the day and the night? Who made the flowers? Who made the trees? Who made the sun and the moon and the seas? Who gives life to all who believe? Who do you think calls the blind to see? Who made the very air that you breathe? Who defeated death and won the victory?
Worship Him.
It was Me.
Hallelujah. Amen.
It was Me.
It was Me.
I'm the one who died for you at Calvary. It was Me who loved you. when no one else would.
Hallelujah.
Who saved you?
Thank you, Lord.
When no one else could.
God.
It was me.
Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. Amen. God bless you. Heavenly Father, thank you that we serve a risen Lord who's near. God, I pray, God, that you'd help. Lord, I pray people to sense your presence the rest of this day. Lord, from now till Jesus comes, help us, our Father, to enjoy the presence of God in our life, the nearness. And God, I know, our Father, that we'll face dark days. I know there'll be times that we'll walk by faith and not by sight. But God, we'll treasure those moments when you make yourself real to us. Lord, when the light of day breaks forth and we feel the joy, our Father, of your closeness once again. And our Father, when we don't sense it, God, it'll give us a great hunger to search your word, get closer to you and seek you in prayer and walk by faith until such a time as you manifest yourself and take away, our Father, the blindness of our eyes, and that we might behold you and that our heart might burn within us as you open to us the scriptures. And God, we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.